That was Drake and Rihanna and a song called Take Care. It's 8 minutes past three on a Friday afternoon. I don't often have guests on my program. Normally it's too busy. But today we're making an exception because I do a bit of acting now and again. And I made a film, 2.5 years ago, something like that, where I had a part. And the director of that film is Jane Gull. It was called My Feral Heart. She's with us this afternoon. She's been saying to me for ages, when are you going to invite me in on your programme?
Feel very privileged, Keith, to be here today.
That's nice to see you, Jane. Now, there's a lot to talk about, actually, because it's such an interesting career being a film director. But in fact, you didn't start as a film director, did you? When you left school, you did something totally different, which I didn't know about until we were talking about it earlier. How did you start off in the world of showbiz?
Is that what it is? Showbiz. I've always been interested in drama, acting, dancing, and started... Well, I went to dance college, actually, when I left school for a year. But then I left because I then wanted to be an actress, and I couldn't make up my mind whether I wanted to be a dancer or an actress. So I planned to go to drama school. But I think it was a month before I was due to start, I auditioned for a job on a cruise ship as a dancer and got that, and then worked as a dancer.
Yeah, because the great thing is about you, because I've got a lot of actor friends and some dancer friends, not many, because I've got two left feet, as I told you earlier.
I don't believe that.
It's true. It seems to be so hard, certainly nowadays, to make a living from dancing or singing or acting or whatever it is. You've managed to do that, haven't you, for most of your adult life?
Yeah, just about, scraping by. But, yeah, I have.
So what's the trick?
I think the trick is to be versatile.
But you don't, you said that you don't
sing. No,
terribly.
I don't sing. I've worked in a band for a number of years, and I was part of an ABBA tribute band. But singing's definitely not my strength. However, I think nowadays, you know, the triple threat thing really is quite important. But I think, you know, just being versatile and being able to adapt. I mean, I've danced, done choreography, acting, directing. Always been interested in directing from a very young age. At the age of 12, I started up my own theatre company.
That's amazing.
Theatre company, that's making it sound a bit better.
Well, whatever.
Group.
So you obviously always had this entrepreneurial streak in you.
I have, actually, yeah.
So that obviously helps as well.
It does, yeah. I've sort of made things happen. And that was from the age of 12 to the age of 18. Actually, I wonder whether any of your listeners were part of the Jelly Tots. I don't know why we were called the Jelly Tots.
The Jelly Tots.
The Jelly Tots.
Where were they based?
We were based in Rochford at the Roachway Youth Theatre, youth centre there, but we used to perform all over. I started that at the age of 12.
It was a bit like this PQA thing that they've got nowadays, the Pauline Quirk Academy. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't quite that professional. I mean, I was 12, let's remember, Keith.
But that sort of thing, was it?
Yeah, but I was renting out the local, you know, church hall and different things, and people used to leave their kids with me. But nowadays, that wouldn't happen. So that was, you know, it was quite a wonderful time, actually. I mean, when I was about 15 years old, I think we had about 40 members, and we used to rehearse twice a week at the local hall and then in mum and dad's lounge. Mm. And we put on loads of shows over the years, and I think that's where it really started, and I used to write the scripts and direct the productions and do the choreography and, of course, give myself the lead part.
Why not? But anyway, moving on, you moved into the world of dance, and you did that for 8 years, full time?
Yeah, I mean, when I left dance college to become an actress, and then I started dancing, I worked professionally as a dancer until I was 26.
Yeah. And is that the sort of age where dancers have to think, oh, am I still as fluid as I used to be, you know?
Well, I think it really depends on the individual. Okay. I mean, some dancers, you know, their careers can continue. For me, it was a case of, you know, one of the reasons why I love dancing was I got to travel the world and visit new places and be inspired for the scripts that I'm now writing.
Yeah.
So I always think everything's done for a reason. But no, I got to 26 and I thought, you know, I want to do something different now. And I was doing choreography and then I went into acting. I sound like a jack of all trades, don't I?
Maybe this is the trick, as you were saying, is to be a jack of all trades. Is it to maintain a presence, and I'll use the expression, in the world of showbiz, maybe you've got to be a jack of all trades, haven't you?
Yeah, and for me, I just love variety. Yeah. I love doing
different
things.
Because you've done pantos and stuff, haven't you?
Yep, still involved in the pantos even now. I was up in Blackburn just before Christmas doing the choreography for a panto there. And I've been in pantos, and I don't act so much anymore, but I will do theatre plays as and when they come in, because I really enjoy that. Funnily enough, I love directing, I love directing theatre as well, but my passion is directing for film or type of thing.
I can still remember that, we'll come on to that in a minute, but I can still remember that that scene where you said, you're overthinking it. Because I got to this point, I had a little scene, I got to this point where I dried, and I thought, well, what's happening here? You said, just don't overthink it, just do it, you know, and then I was okay.
Yeah.
That was a little bit of direction from you. Let's have a bit of music, and we'll come back and chat some more. Phoenix FM, 17 minutes past 3, that was Bon Jovi, and a song that's recently released called Born Again Tomorrow. I've got Jane Gull with us in the studio this afternoon. Jane is a film director, amongst other things. Makes you sound very glamorous, doesn't it?
Ooh, I'm a huge Bon Jovi fan, Keith. Did you play that for me?
I didn't know you were a Bon Jovi fan.
I'm a huge Bon Jovi fan.
Fate, absolute fate that we happened to play that song at that time. So, we've been talking about a little bit about your past history, but we haven't actually talked about the filming at all yet. How long have you been involved with film rather than stage?
I made my first short film about 10 years ago, but I've been involved in filming as an actress and as a choreographer for, I don't know, since my 20s, I suppose, early 20s.
Because you know how to work a camera and stuff. Did you learn that at college or something? Or did you pick it up and run along?
Well, the camera, I mean, I work with a cinematographer on most of the projects.
You've done your own filming. I mean, the first time we met, you were actually doing the filming.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Because I work for Signals Media Arts.
Okay.
As a theatre, as a film practitioner there. But the thing is, I mean, cameras are changing all the time. And when the first short film I made, we shot on a Digibeta camera, which was a huge, great big thing. And, you know, things are changing all the time in the technical department. I know my way around the cameras. But, you know, now I'm working with cinematographers, not doing so much actual camera work myself.
Yeah. So was it something that developed over the years, that you sort of played with it a little bit to start with, and then you thought, oh, I quite enjoy this, let's do a bit more? Or was it something you always wanted to do?
Well, how it actually happened, I'd written a short film script, and there was a director on board who was directing it, and unfortunately she had to pull out, so I stepped in and took over. However, before that I had worked on film sets choreographing, which...
So you had a bit of a feel.
Choreography is it is a form of direction, especially when you're choreographing a film, because you're thinking about camera placements and, you know, all those things, and looking at it visually. So it was a bit of a... I didn't really fall into it, but I didn't really ever wake up and think, I want to be
a film... You kind of crept into it.
Yeah, crept into it. And then I discovered, this is what I want to do.
Right.
Yeah.
So this early work that you did, is it still available to look at, or
the short films?
Yeah,
they're still kicking around. The first
on
one
on YouTube, or
it was on YouTube. I'm not sure whether it's on there anymore. I mean, some of my short films are online at the moment.
Because you've got your own website, we should say.
Got my own website. Yeah. My short film Twitcher, I think's around there somewhere. But also my short film Sunny Boy at the moment is online for a short period.
Now that's done very well.
It has.
Yeah. I've never seen it.
But you can see it on Arte TV's website. They've got it up there for a limited period only.
What TV?
Arte. So it's ARTE.
TV.
It's a French and German.
Okay, and
channel.
It's you can watch it now.
You can watch it on there for a limited time because they broadcast it on their TV channel, and they put it on their website. But I think it's only for a month or so.
Right. Okay. So it's not generally available to be seen.
No.
Right. So tell us about that, Sunny Boy, because that has done very well for you, hasn't it? It's a short film. How long is it, roughly?
It's 11 minutes.
Okay, tell us about that.
Yeah, so that we made that, I think it was about five or six years ago now. and we shot it in Southend with some local actors, Darren Kent, who's from Southend that people might know, Lewis Nicholas, and then some other local people. And yeah, we shot it, and we've done really well in the festivals.
What sort of film is it? What's the main story thread?
It's a 11-minute film. It's a drama about a young guy who's got a rare skin condition where he can't go in the sun. It's XP, where his skin sort of burns 1,000 times more than the average person. So that's the premise of the story. And yeah, and then Channel 4 picked it up, and then Arte TV have picked it up, and it's on the DVD. Going around schools in Switzerland, it's had quite a long life.
Yeah, because you kind of have these little pet subjects, don't you? If I can say that you pick up on, and then you really sell them hard, don't you? A bit of the Ken Loach thing.
Yeah? Oh, Keith, yeah. That's lovely of you to say. Yeah. Thank you.
No, I think the first time we met, I could, you know, I felt that coming across quite strongly. That there's certain issues. To do with our society that you feel very strongly about, that you'd like to get reversed or sorted, and you work hard at promoting these issues, don't you, through your films?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when you take on a film project, it's going to be such a big part of your life. So I'd find it very hard to do something that I didn't really feel passionate about and didn't care about.
Yeah.
So
you said earlier to me, not on air obviously, but this was before we came on air, that you could have been a social worker if you hadn't got into entertainment, yeah?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. Let's have another bit of music, and then we'll come back and chat about this film, the film, My Feral Heart, which is doing so phenomenally well at the moment. Melanie C, Dear Life, brings the time around to 29 minutes past 3, Friday afternoon, The Drive Show with Keith Rogers. Slightly different Drive Show today because I've got, we've been trying to get her into the studio for ages actually, but she's so busy, that it's only today we managed to drag her here. Jane Gull, who is an actress and a film director, amongst other things, and a dancer and a choreographer. And the main reason why you're here is to chat about this film. That when did you make this film? When was it actually shot? Remind me.
We shot it in November 2014, so just over two years ago, and then we'd done a few pickups in the February. So yeah, we were actually.
Can't believe it's that long ago.
I know, time flies, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
You don't look any different.
Oh.
Keith is in the film.
When you get to be very old, you know, as the years pass, you don't change very much. When you're younger, you change a lot.
Yeah.
When you get to my advanced age, if you're a year older, it doesn't, you know.
That's why radio's great, isn't it?
That's why radio's great. Yeah. So you cast me in this film, My Feral Heart. I don't really want to talk about myself very much, to be honest. It's embarrassing. We're really here to talk about the film because it's done so well. It's a feature film, isn't it?
It is.
And tell me how the project got off the ground originally.
Okay, so the project originally started about 4 years ago, maybe a bit longer. When the writer, who's another Essex lad,
that's Duncan
Paveley, who I met through a friend of a friend, he came to me, well, we met socially, and then he spoke to me about this idea that he had for this film, and very kindly asked if I would be interested in directing it. So he went away, wrote the script, making it sound very easy, aren't I? And yeah, after many drafts, we got it made and got into production.
Now I know we'll talk about the film itself in a few minutes, but I know a lot of people who are filmmakers themselves will be listening this afternoon, and I know one of the key areas that's always a problem is the finance, isn't it? How did you manage with that? Did you get anything from the lottery fund or anything like that or not?
Well, actually, before the finance, I think, that obviously is a huge part of it.
Because it goes on, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's not just making the film, it's the editing, it's the promotion, all that stuff.
But actually, before that even, the most important thing really is the script.
Right.
Because if the script is good, you know, it still can be difficult to get made and to raise the finance, but you've got to have that beginning ingredients, you've got to have that part, and that's the actual, it's not a cheap part, but it's, you know, it just takes time So it costs you time. But I, you know, would say spend the time getting the script right. I think too many people are in just such a rush to get stuff made. And then, you know, everything will be more difficult if the beginning script, the foundations aren't right.
Yeah. Do you think, would your advice be to filmmakers to try and self-finance as much as possible without having to rely on, you know, the lottery funds and this sort of stuff?
Oh, it's just such a, I mean, it's such a difficult question, really, because, you know, it's a catch-22. You want to get, of course, you don't really want to be putting your own money into a project. But then if it's, if you want to get the project made, you might have to invest your own money and time. It, you know, there really isn't a direct route. It's such a, you know, it's just about getting it made.
Yeah.
But getting
by hook or by crook,
yeah. But, you know, and doing it to the best of your, you know, abilities and just doing the best you can.
Now, let's come on to your script, because it's an unusual story, isn't it? I made a film, it makes it sound very grand, I was in a film about 4 years ago, was it, called The 100-Year-Old Man, who climbed out of a window and disappeared. It's about this guy who was 100 years old, climbed out of a window, and went on a kind of a, an adventure, kind of a road, what do they call it, a road trip.
Road trip.
Yeah. Is it a road trip? It was like a buddy movie, you know. And in fact, your film is a little bit the same, isn't it?
I was going to say that sounds quite similar to the premise of our film.
Yeah. Interesting that the lead actor in the film has Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Was the script actually written so that this should happen? That
yes, I mean, that was in the character description in the script. I mean, it's only mentioned once and then we don't really mention it. And it, it was our intention, you know, to cast an actor that had Downs for the lead role.
And was it difficult to find your lead actor, Stephen Brandon? Was it difficult to find him?
Well, Stephen's actually from Essex, so we had been looking, well, around the whole country, actually, for an actor to play the role, because it's a very demanding role. It's the lead, it's the lead part of the film. He's in practically every scene. We needed to find an actor who could play all those different emotions, and yeah, that was really so important. And I, you know, I felt this film would only work if we found the right actor for the role. And we found him at the Mushroom Theatre Company in Rayleigh, of all places. Yeah. Didn't initially go there looking for the lead character. We were casting some of the smaller parts. But when I met Stephen there, Stephen Brandon, I thought, you know, he actually would be, he would be perfect.
Mm. Well, I had a scene with him, of course. And, you know, I've not worked with people who've got Down syndrome, but I have met a lot of them. And they don't seem to have got any baggage, you know, emotional baggage. You know, what you see is what you get. I remember I went to this school where I think virtually everybody there had Down syndrome, and I was surrounded by these people all giving me hugs, you know, and it was really emotional. Does that help you, do you think, with their acting? That they don't really have this... I mean, if I was acting, I think, oh, am I walking properly? Am I talking properly? You know, should I be fluttering my eyelids? Did you have that problem with Stephen or not?
Well, honestly, all I can say is, as a director, and I've, you know, and as an actress over the years, I've worked with loads of actors now, and everybody's different.
Mm.
Everybody's different. You know, everybody's unique, and that's what's wonderful, isn't it, about this world? That there's, and I always say that to my students when I'm teaching, cause we, you know, a lot of the time people are trying to be the next De Niro or the next,
well, that's
you
know, the
next,
to,
the next Johnny Depp.
That's the point, but I'm trying to make. Really.
No, yeah, just I think just be yourself, because there's only one of you, and you know, and every actor I work with needs different things from me. Like, you know, working with you, Keith, was very different to working with, like, I don't know, Shana Swash or Jill Keane or
You had a big challenge,
Will Rastel, or whoever. Every actor's different, and it's just knowing, as a director, your job is to try and get the best performance from your actor, and yeah, and that requires a different, you know, different things, different ways of doing it.
Tell us how the shoot went. Did everything go according to plan?
No, of course it didn't. But nothing ever goes to plan. Whenever you, you know, you can be prepared, and proper preparation prevents poor performance, as they say. But, you know, just be prepared for the unexpected.
Yeah.
And, yeah, filmmaking's problem solving, you know, and you're always on the spot thinking, making decisions. You might not make the right decision, but you have to make a decision. You can't be, as a director, you can't be dithering around too much. You've got to sort of think on your feet and get on with it.
Time is money, isn't it? Is
yeah.
We'll discuss what's happened with My Feral Heart, because it's done really well. We'll go into that in a bit more detail very shortly. KT Tunstall and a song called Hard Girls. We've got Jane Gull in the studio this afternoon. She's an actress and a film director, and not very long ago, she completed a film called My Feral Heart. It was shot in around the South End area, wasn't it, mainly?
Raleigh, Hockley, yeah. That area. Yeah. Stanbridge. A lot of it we shot in Stanbridge.
Yeah.
And Rochford.
And then you had about 6 months of editing, did you tell me earlier?
Yeah.
A long period of editing.
Yeah. About that.
That seems a long time.
No, not really.
No?
No. I mean, that's not just the edit. That includes all the colour grading, the sound design, the music, you know, that whole period. I think, you know, that's pretty, it's pretty good going. Yeah,
yeah, obviously I don't know much about film editing. So another important point now to discuss as regards our filmmakers listening at the moment, and that's the promotion of the film, getting, you know, bottoms on seats to come and watch these films. I mean, how tricky was that to achieve?
Yeah, I mean, the marketing, you can see why films, you know, they spend so much money on marketing.
Had you budgeted for this before you made the film or not?
No, so we didn't really have, we don't really have a lot of money for marketing, so we had to be inventive. And the film started its journey with film festivals, and we went last March to America to Cinequest, where the film went down really well, and we picked up an award over there for an audience award, actually, which was lovely, best feature film. And then we had our UK premiere at the Edinburgh Festival in June, which was brilliant. And then from there, we went to places like Singapore, Russia. Myself and Stephen, we went to Moscow, which was a wonderful experience. The Woodstock Film Festival. Lots of different places, and we've picked up quite a few awards along the way. Last week we won 3 awards at the Liftoff Film Festival, annual awards at Pinewood Film Studios. So yeah, so that was great. And then for the distribution, we really wanted to get the film into cinemas, so we've partnered with Our Screen, which is a people-powered platform.
Is this a fairly new organisation?
Yeah, it's been going, I think, about 3 years. And what happens is people can just go onto their website and set up screenings of films, our films.
Well, anybody can do it.
Anybody. So you could go on there and you could select a cinema that's in their remit. And providing enough tickets are sold, that screening will go ahead.
Really?
So we started that in November, and we started with just 10 screenings.
Did you spend a lot of time deciding which cinemas that the film should be shown in?
Well, we had our first Our Screen at Stratford, at the Picture House in Stratford. And then it's gone on. I think now we've got about 70 screenings. We've had about 70 screenings, some through Our Screen and some through independent cinemas that booked the film. Like tomorrow we've got a screening in Tottenham, and then for the next 5 days we've got some in Ipswich at the Ipswich Film Theatre. I think that goes on till the 2nd of February. Then we've got Surrey, London, Kent, Cambridge, lots of places.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not in Essex so much. We've had a couple of screenings in Essex.
Because Our Screen only works with certain chains.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's mainly Picture Houses, Views and Empires.
Okay. Of course, it's a shame. We've just lost the Basel and
Empire.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah. That's such a shame. Yeah.
So coming back to this interesting what you say about Our Screen and the fact that you can actually, you know, put your own film on there. Is it a certain percentage of the seats that have to be sold before the actual film is shown? Is that how it works? You know,
yeah.
If it's a 100-seater, do you have to sell 75% of the seats before that sort of thing?
Yeah, that's how it works. I mean, it really the percentage depends on the venue. Yeah. But we found out...
So if you had enough friends and family, you could... If they all wanted to go travelling around the country...
Yeah, you could do.
Yeah,
obviously they've got to buy the tickets
and
everything.
Yeah.
But that's been brilliant. And at Christmas, we found out we'd been Our Screen's most successful film of 2016. And then only a couple of weeks ago, we found out we're their most successful film of all time. since they started.
Right. How much is this $64,000 question? How much of this is down to Mark Kermode and the fact he absolutely loves your film? Mark Kermode is probably the best known film critic. Is he on the television at the moment, I would say?
Well, I think he is, and I think he's the best. that didn't hurt.
He loves it, doesn't
he? Yeah, I mean, he's been a real champion of the film, which has been amazing because I always listen to his film programme on a Friday or listen to the podcast. So when I knew that he was going to review it, I was like, oh gosh, I hope he likes it. And yeah, he said some really lovely things about the film, and he's been a real champion, and that really has helped our film a lot because we don't have the money for the marketing and the promotion. We really have been relying on word of mouth and social media, and you know, people like yourselves inviting us on to the radio programs. Have been on a few different radio stations,
including Radio 4.
Including Radio 4, the Today program.
Today's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. So all the information, just a little plug here, is on our website, which is myferalheart.co.uk. We've got a whole list of screenings. We've got screenings going on until March. Through our screen and some directly with independent cinemas. And also, we've got two of our actors, Stephen Brandon and Shana Swash, who have both been nominated for National Film Awards, which is a public vote. So if you have seen the film...
So who nominates them? Who does that?
I'm not actually sure how they got nominated to be there, but they're in an amazing list, with an amazing list of actors. I mean, Stephen's up against Ewan McGregor, Daniel Radcliffe, Michael Fassbender, and it is a public vote, which is brilliant. So if you have seen the film and you do like their performances, please go onto our website, and there's a thing on there, a link where you can... get through to the National Film website and then vote for them.
Absolutely. Jane, thanks so much for coming in to see. Are you working on another project now or not?
At the moment, I've got scripts in development. Beavering away. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Writing. But Keith, can I just say thank you so much for being part of the film.
Oh,
and if you want to see what Keith looks like and see him in the flesh, do come and see our film. He's wonderful. Performance.
You're making me blush.
Plays a really important part in the film, and he was great to work with, even though I... what was it you said I said to you?
You said I had a little problem at one stage because it was Steve, actually, you know, the lead actor. He changed the scene slightly. We don't want to get too technical. Basically, he turned to face me or something in the scene rather than facing the other direction, and it threw me slightly. And you said, don't overthink it, just do it. Or was that effect? And it had a miraculous effect.
Well, it worked. You've got a great performance.
Oh, well, thank you very much. So, the nearest cinema to see it now would be Ipswich, I
guess.
We've
got Ipswich, yeah. We've got some in Tottenham, we've got some in London coming up.
That would be quick. Yep. Easier, yeah.
Cambridge, Kent, Hastings, Wales, Scotland, Staines, Shropshire.
All over the place, yeah.
To name but a few.
Yeah. Thank you for coming in, Jane.
Thank you.
Hopefully you can get back to Shenfield Station without too much hassle.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a walk through the woods again.
Good luck with that.